This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 195 of the Big Boo Cast. Now, last week, Melanie and I got to talk to Coach Mike Leach, and as far as we were concerned, that was as good as 2020 was going to get on the podcast front. But then midweek, something happened, and we'll tell you about that in just a little bit, that changed our course for this week's episode. And I have to say, I think 2020 is even now a little bit better because of who we get to talk to today. We cannot wait for you to listen. We cannot wait to tell you how it all came to pass. And we hope you really enjoy listening to episode 195. One more thing. If you think about it, if you just happen to be ambling that way, if you would leave a review for our little podcast on whatever app you use, particularly if you use Apple Podcasts, that would be delightful and appreciated, and we would be ever so grateful. Alrighty, here we go with episode 195. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And we are surprised and happy and elated,
delighted.
We're so happy with what we have going on today.
Over the moon. Let me say, it's our lesson in dreams come true, kids.
That's right. Okay, so to set this up for y'all a little bit, when Melanie was in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, we kept saying two things. One was that you can't score if you don't shoot.
That's right.
And you can't hit if you don't swing. And I don't know about y'all, but I've needed a little extra motivation these last couple of months. It's been a little hard to feel super motivated. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
So the other day I was talking to David about Lenox Hill and how I loved Lenox Hill and how it was my second favorite show of quarantine behind Somebody Feed Phil. And he said, "Well, y'all ought to have Phil on the podcast." And I kind of thought, okay. So without even telling Melanie, did I tell you beforehand?
Did I? Yeah, you did. You did. Okay. You said, "I'm going to message Phil." Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Cause I talked to you on the way. I think I was going walking. Yeah. And so I sat in my car and I composed a message to Phil on Instagram. I just direct messaged him. And that was that. And then the next morning, and asked him if he wanted to be on the podcast. And the next morning I woke up and I had an answer from him and he said, "Let's do it." And listen, nobody was more surprised by that than the two of us.
Would you like to be on our podcast that we started? We're just two moms with unstationary mics that have been known to record from beanbags. It'll be everything you're used to.
Super professional.
Professionalism. Yes.
So he said yes. And because as y'all know, I mean, we've talked about it a ton. Melanie discovered Somebody Feed Phil 6 or 7 weeks ago. Told me about it. I started watching. We have loved it. We have talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. So we are so excited that today on the podcast, we're talking to Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil.
Another sentence we didn't think we'd say in 2020.
another sentence not on our 2020 bingo card, as you said last yes. week. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying we're shifting to a show that does interviews. We're just saying, like, if we had the chance, we wanted to take it.
Absolutely.
So we are about to talk to Phil Rosenthal, and we are so excited about that and so happy that y'all are here to hear it. And I will say this also, to try to learn a little bit more about how he got to this place in his life where he travels around the world and he really uses food as a bridge to meet people and to tell people stories. I bought his memoir that was published in the relatively early 2000s over the weekend, and I'm about halfway finished, and it is in the exact cadence in which he speaks. It's so easy to read and so fascinating to kind of get the behind the scenes of Everybody Loves Raymond and how all that came to fruition. And so he's just as great a writer as he is. We knew he was a great TV writer, but he's just as great a memoir writer as he is a TV writer and travel TV host. So anything else we need to cover before we talk to Phil?
I think that's it. I think we're ready. I hope y'all enjoy it. We're really looking forward to it.
All right, here we go, y'all, with Phil Rosenthal. Melanie, when did you first mention Somebody Feed Phil? Was that like a month ago,
like 4 or 5 weeks ago, somebody had put it on Instagram. And so, you know, at this point in 2020, I've watched all of Netflix, and somebody said, you need to try this show called Somebody Feed Phil. And so I started it and immediately fell in love with it, and then told Sophie, you've got to watch this show.
Right. And if there's a place ever where I'm going to commit, it's with television. Like listen, that's just the kind of person I'm going to go in. Obsessed is a strong word, right? But we have loved it so much. So my husband, who has listened to me talk incessantly about Somebody Feed Phil, and then now I'll have what Phil's having because I bought it on Amazon, is convinced that I'm going to pull a Chris Farley today. And it's going to be like that old Chris Farley sketch on Saturday Night Live where he was like, hey,
I've done it myself. I've gotten to meet people that I love, and I just turned to jelly.
But I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be good. I think we've got a good way forward. So again, thank you so much for doing this. And I just want to tell you, I also, in the interest of research, because, you know, we want to be really informed about what we're doing today, I bought your book this past weekend.
Wow. Did you read it?
I did. And I'm in the middle of it. Right now, you have just cast Everybody Loves Raymond. That's where I am in the book. Yeah. So here's my first question, because Melanie and I both write memoir kind of books. At this point, she's written, I think, Melanie, how many have you written? Five?
Five books. Yes.
Yeah. And I've written four. And so as I'm reading your memoir, I think, okay, so what's tougher for you? Is it the TV writing or the memoir writing, or are they both just pure agony? Like where, how did that work out for you when you were doing that?
You know, I spent my whole childhood and adolescence avoiding homework.
Right.
Right. I did
yes.
everything I could. My parents would say, if you spend as much time on your homework as you did getting out of your homework, you would be so much better. Isn't it ironic that my profession became homework?
Right.
Every time I have to write something, that is the feeling that I have. Mm-hmm. Do it now. Get it over. Save it for Sunday night. It's going to be off. And I guess that drives me, that hate of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous saying, I hate writing, but I love having written.
Yes. Yes.
Look what I made. It's not as much fun as making it. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Let me, can you pause a second? Are we live?
No.
Let me just tell my brother that I'm on it's Richard. You know who Richard is.
Oh, yeah? We know. Tell Richard hello.
No. So much easier and more fun to point to what you did than having to do it.
100%.
So what I tell writers is, especially new writers starting out, but even old folks like me who forget, write stuff down. Write stuff down every day. Keep a journal. And then forget it. And then come back to it. There may be something great in there. right? And it's much easier to write things down than to write.
For yes. sure. Yes. And I feel like after watching Somebody Feeds Phil, I had watched Everybody Loves Raymond and I loved it. But like seeing you interact with your parents and your dad, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is where that came from. Like it makes so much sense.
I can't point to a better example of write things down. Yeah. Because, you know, if you worked for me, your job was to go home, get in a fight with your spouse and come back in and tell me about it. That was it. 90% of what you saw happened to me or to Ray or to one of the other writers. And usually, it's funny how 9 years in, we still didn't understand that that was the lesson because you think you have to create.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, in the morning, we'd come in first with where we're going to order lunch. That's on the book. Mm-hmm. Where we're gonna order lunch is a big deal. Because that's, and we talk in an effort to avoid working, right? And then, invariably, what are we talking about? What happened at home? The stupid kids, the stupid wife, the stupid parents, the stupid me. Hey, wait a minute. Like idiots. Wait a minute. That could be the.
Yeah.
That's what it always is.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, y'all. It's me with a quick break in the episode to talk to you about the school mask pack. As we all adjust to wearing masks as the new normal, parents are conflicted by a unique problem, which is finding a mask our kids will wear. That's why I'm so happy to have found the Crayola School Mask Pack. These masks are really lightweight and they're super adjustable, more so than any other mask that I have seen or tried. They have these little toggles on the sides of the bands that go around your ears where you can make it smaller or bigger as you might happen to need or as your kids might happen to need. And that ability to customize makes it so comfortable. Every school mask pack comes with 5 comfortable cloth masks, so your child has a fresh mask with a new fun design every single school day. And all the masks are built with a 3D design, a form-fitting nose wire, and adjustable ear straps. That's the little toggle thing I was telling you about. And that's the thing that really sets these masks apart. Crayola school masks are machine washable and come with a handy mesh laundry bag to stay organized and a calendar to track daily usage. So as you use your mask each week, you can just put them in the mesh pack and then they all stay together, which makes sorting your laundry and finding your mask in the laundry so much easier. As an added bonus, Crayola School Mask Pack will donate a portion of your purchase to a charity of your choice that supports kids who have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Donors choose No Kid Hungry and Heart of America. When it comes to making the best mask for you and your family, the Crayola Mask Pack has perfected every detail. The Crayola Mask Pack is a great solution for your family for back to school, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. So do what I did and get your family the Crayola School Mask Pack today at schoolmaskpack.com/bigboo. That's schoolmaskpack.com/bigboo. Here we go. Back to episode 195.
You tell a story in the book about the fruit basket with your parents.
Yes. Fruit of the Month Club. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So if somebody has not read the book, that one story totally informed a script you were working on for the show. Like it was kind of a magic moment for you to think about, hey, this is the kind of thing that we're after. So
exactly. You don't know.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing that little story real quick?
I gave my parents, because I thought I was being nice, I gave them a gift for Hanukkah of the Fruit of the Month Club. They lived in New York and I was here in LA. And I got this phone call. It was my mother. Philip, we got your Hanukkah present. Oh, good, good. Do you like it? Oh, it's very nice. But did you know it was a box of pears? I said, yeah, Ma. I hope you like them. Oh, well, they're very nice, but there's so many pears. I mean, there's over a dozen pears. What am I supposed to do with all these pears? I said, well, you eat them, I think. You, myself? Well, Dad is there. You can give some to Dad. How many pears can your father eat? I mean, please, do me a favor. Don't ever send us food again. And I said, well, another box is coming next month. He said, what, more pears? And I said, no, a different box every month. She said, every month? Oh, my God. Max, he got us in some kind of cult. What am I supposed to do with all this fruit? I said, you eat it, you share it, share it with your friends. Which friends? I don't know. Lee and Stan. Lee and Stan buy their own fruit. Why did you do this to us? I'll cancel it. I can't talk anymore. There's too much fruit in the house.
So good. And that's where the magic happens, is right there in the middle of real life.
You don't think your stupid life is worthy of anything.
Right.
Yeah. I would be interested, right?
Right.
But it turns out, if you're a writer, you know this, the more specific you get, mm-hmm. the more relatable it becomes.
Yeah.
So just the fact that you react means you identify with something in there, and we hit a nerve. And I didn't know I was hitting it, but it turns out, here's what I learned. First of all, you can't give your parents a gift without it blowing up in your face. This is somehow universal. And even beyond that, fruit of the month. I had no idea. I got letters from all over the world that fruit of the month was this horrible thing that blew up in their face.
Yeah. Oh, it came across as so nice. You know, my husband and I still say one of our favorite from Everybody Loves Raymond that we still quote is that episode where Raymond walks in on his wife and she's waxing her mustache. Yes. Or she's got he's like, excuse me, sir, I was looking for my wife. And we do that all the time. Like, it's like a household thing.
You know, it's nice. If you're writing a comedy show, you work with funny people, right? Comedians. And he's a comedian and he can think of lines, you know, I don't know if that one was his, but mm-hmm. really, really funny writers who half of them started as stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to do.
Yeah.
It's
just so many funny. And I think that's that whole thing, because Sophie and I both write about our real life. And we always say, like, real life is so much better than anything you can make up, mm-hmm. because it's so bizarre.
But look at, you know, a show that's not funny to me is Veep.
Mm-hmm.
Out the top, what's really happening.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't.
Yeah.
Believe it. If you wrote this, and nobody will, because it's not, first of all, not funny. Second of all, you can't believe it's unbelievable.
It's
if
unbelievable.
If you dramatized it, it would not be believable.
So I have to tell you, like, for me, when I discovered the show, so the way Netflix queued it up on my TV, I started with season 3 and I didn't realize I had. So I started in Marrakesh, and then pretty early on, I watched the Chicago episode. I watched Chicago and it was right as everything with George Floyd had started to happen.
It's amazing the timing of that.
The timing. And I mean, I sat there, Phil, and I have to tell you, and I just cried. Like, I get emotional just thinking about it. I cried. I was like, this is so beautiful. And if everybody could have this kind of response to each other and love each other in this way, I was like, what a different place the world would be. And it seems like Sophie and I said, what we love about the show is it's the food and the culture, and we love seeing all that, but the way you connect with people mm-hmm. and how food is that bridge. And did that kind of spawn this whole idea for the show, or is that something that just happened along the way?
No. I knew that in my life experience of traveling, and yes, I love eating. I plan my vacations around where I'm going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do something between meals. So that's going to be cultural or, you know, or charitable or something interesting. If it was just me eating, I knew that's not a show.
Yeah.
That's nice for me, but I'm not nice as anybody else. So what else is there? Well, what you learn if you travel at all is that food seems to be the great connector. And then for me, laughs are the cement. But mm-hmm. that's just where I'm coming from. You know, someone like Bourdain, he didn't need that so much because he was also a real adventurer, a real journalist. He evolved into a real journalist to the point where, you know, CNN, it was the top show on CNN because he was taking you to war-torn countries and like getting in. That's not me. So I'm just this pale kind of, I don't want to say imitation of him, but I certainly am much less adventurous. You know, if you've read anything I've said before, I sold the show by saying I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything. And that kind of defines where I'm coming from. First of all, you know that I'm going to be not him and that I might be a little bit funny. So that's the only thing I can bring to the genre that Anthony Bourdain kind of reinvented for the world, right? There's many, many food and travel shows. I'm very happy to say that there's a lot more diversity now in the field, you know, with great women and people of color and all kinds of people doing what I do. So how do you stand out? You can only bring, just like in Raymond, not an imitation of Seinfeld, Raymond. Raymond mm-hmm. is Raymond, and Raymond has that sensibility. And so our show has that sensibility, and that sensibility, which I was part of, is now informing this. I've taken everything I've learned about how to make a television show, which is understanding what entertainment is, what humor is, how to incorporate it into whatever story you're telling, how to tell a story, right? And it's in the service now of everything I love in life. Mm-hmm. Family, friends, food, travel, laughs. Mm-hmm. These are my values, and that's the show. And the theme, that's not the theme, that's just what you're seeing. The theme, of course, is what you're getting, which is the connection to the people. And through those five things, we're making those connections. I think the world would be better if we all could experience a little bit of other people's experiences, right?
Right, yeah.
And traveling is the most mind-expanding thing we can do in life because we're all ambassadors. We need to be ambassadors, especially today. Well, not literally today, because nobody wants us right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not welcome, Phil, right now.
But
yeah.
Before this virus, there was another virus called, you know what it's called. And we had to battle that by being decent human beings. Even if you're half decent and you go to another country, you're already ahead.
Yeah.
And so you're putting something good in the world, meaning niceness, right? Mm-hmm. Openness, talking to someone and sitting down to eat with them, smiling at them, even not hurting them, even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what you get back from traveling, selfishly, you know, there's nothing else in life that gives you something that lasts the rest of your life. A different perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
See the world differently now.
Yeah.
Hello, me again in the middle of the episode with a quick break to talk about Thrive Market. A few weeks back, I became a Thrive Market member. They're delivering organic and sustainable groceries right to my door. I have loved seeing just the array of goodness that they have on their website, and I cannot imagine shopping or finding a better selection of granolas, especially y'all. I love a good granola. And Thrive Market has such a great selection. I can't imagine looking for that any other way. Once you try Thrive Market, you will love it as much as I do, and here's why. As a proud Thrive Market member, I have access to get the products that I love, and my paid membership provides a free one for someone in need, like a low-income family or a veteran, a first responder, among others. Thrive Market tailors to over 70 different diets and values, like paleo, keto, or plant-based, delivering the highest quality organic and sustainable essentials from groceries, healthy snacks, meat and seafood, clean wines, non-toxic cleaning, and bath and body. As a member, you can save 25 to 50% off traditional retail prices, and their carbon neutral shipping is free on orders over $49. The savings I get on my favorite clean organic products are amazing, but I can also feel good. You can also feel good about helping to support communities in need. In addition to membership matching, Thrive Market has raised over $750,000 to date through their COVID-19 relief fund. So go to thrivemarket.com/bigboo, join today, and you'll get a free gift of your choosing up to $22 in value. That's T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/bigboo to start your risk-free membership and get a free gift today. thrivemarket.com/bigboo. Okay. Back to 195.
One thing I love so much about watching you on the show is that everybody you meet, and I think this is a little bit of a dying art, everybody you meet, you give the benefit of the doubt. Everybody.
Well, because I don't know anything.
Right. But that's not our default right now, I don't feel like. And you go into...
Oh, no, we're the best at everything. We're number one in being the worst.
So you go into situations and give people the benefit of the doubt, and to watch them open up to you is just, it's magic.
But it's so easy. It's so easy. I'm no genius. It's so, you know, just be nice, people. Just pretend you don't know everything.
Right. Yes.
And the
how
world,
about that?
The world does open up to you. Mm-hmm. Because people, here's human nature. We like when people are vulnerable and nice, and we don't like when they're arrogant and stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're a guest. You're a guest. It's not your house.
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't go in a Baptist church and go, this isn't what I did. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you try to see the good? That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to see the good.
I may cry.
I know. Like
this is something that we all need right now. I think that it's been a time that's worn people down when we were already a little worn down. So I love the way that you interact with people and you give them the benefit of the doubt. And then the other thing I really love, and this is a different kind of deal, but you wear these shoes when you're in these different places. Do you know what I'm talking about, Phil? I've zoomed in on the shoes. I've tried to figure out what the shoes are. The shoes are black. They've got a thick sole, and I'm dying to know what kind of shoes they are because
they're called Hoka.
They're Hokas. Okay.
You know about Hoka?
Yeah, I know about Hokas.
They come in some clown colors, you know. I got the black ones, and I'm afraid the black ones look like Frankenstein shoes. They're just very thick soles.
Yes.
Like that, because they were designed for runners who were running downhill in Europe. And they were getting shin splints from running downhill. So they asked the shoe manufacturers, can you build a shoe that protects us a little bit? And it turns out that what would protect them is a thicker sole. Mm-hmm. Some of the trend is to have like barefoot, like hardly mm-hmm. any sole.
Yeah.
So good for any part of your feet through your legs into your lower back. And I have lower back issues. Why? Because I sit for a living. And so I need those shoes. But now, because I've been exercising correctly and I got a guy that helps me, I can now graduate from those. Okay. If you see the third season, they're not as, they were ASICs, I think I graduated to.
Okay.
And now I have a whole fleet of shoes and these are New Balance. See, like regular.
Okay. Regular right? shoes. Yeah.
I'm sorry for my leg. But that's the shoe now okay. that I'm wearing. It could change, but the Hokas are super comfortable. That's yeah. why. And by the way, you know, I'm old. I'm married 30 years. Well, I don't need to catch anyone with my shoes. It's
over. You're not trying to lure women all over the world in with your shoes?
No, I don't care if a woman looks.
Have you tried Brooks at all? Have you ever tried Brooks shoes?
I have.
Okay. They're my faves.
They're good too. Are they like ASICs? I think they're, are they the same though?
No, I think they're similar to ASICs. I think they're a little wider than ASICs, but they're my faves.
I have flat feet and a bad back. And so okay. that's why I had the Frankenstein shoes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to know. I wondered.
My brother thinks it's great. My brother just thinks, you know, that's character. You're a schlemiel. And when I'm doing the tango, should I have those when I... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. It's part of the thing. So, yeah. Okay. So one of my other favorite moments, and you talking about trying to get people to come out of their shell, when you were in Tel Aviv and you went to sit and you tried to unite the table of the two older Jewish women who did not want to unite. They were not interested at first.
So here's even better about that.
Oh.
So they tell me, well, when we first got to Tel Aviv, we're just looking around, walking around. And see the mall, and I see tables of old ladies. I'm like, oh, look at them, look at that. And I ask our fixer there, what's with that? Oh, they come every Tuesday, and then Wednesday there's another group, and they all, why? Why? Because it's temperature controlled, and they let them sit there. And if they mm-hmm. buy coffee from here, everybody wins, right? Yeah. And they let the old ladies to like take over. This, we don't really see this in America, right?
No.
It was adorable. I said, I want to join them for a thing. Well, let's set it up. So they set it up with a table the day of. They ask if they want to be filmed. And this guy, Phil, is going to come over with some cookies from this place. I don't want to meet them until I meet them. Everything is real. But mm-hmm. they just warn them that I'm coming. Okay. So I go over to the cookies. And I haven't even seen the table. They point, it's that one over there. Okay. Get my cookies. And I come over. And they're rolling. And I say, hello, my name's Phil. May I join you? And they look up and they go, no, thank you. And they look up. And I'm like, what? is this the right table? Yeah, we just taught them. They either forgot in 5 minutes, they forgot, or they looked at me and said, nah, we don't think so. Maybe it was the shoes.
Maybe it was.
And then so I went. I just said, I'm going to the next table. So I went to the next table, and that's the table you see in the show.
Okay.
All right. Then the other table where they come from the other,
yeah,
that's the first table.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Yeah. So they eventually decided, hey, we do want to be in, but not all of us, the first table.
One of them. One. That's my detente. I got one.
I loved it. My grandmother on my dad's side, they're Sicilian. They came from Sicily. And that group of women reminded me so much of my Sicilian family and the way they are.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Everyone's the same. That's what I've learned. I've been all over the world. Everyone's the same. I get letters from Sri Lanka about everybody loves Raymond. They said, that's my mother. How do I know your mother? I was writing my mother. Oh, like pick any nationality. Well, that Ma, she doesn't really interfere in her kids' lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No.
Oh, the brothers, they're not jealous of each other. Doesn't happen.
Right.
Right? Right. The husband's a slob and the wife tells him what to do. Every single, they come to me, Korean people. Oh, Raymond, he's the Korean man. Oh, you're no kidding.
Hey y'all, it's me here with a final break in the podcast episode to talk to you about hydrate. Summer's here and it's crazy hot outside and we all know that we should drink more water. This is the story of my life. I need to drink more water. But by the time we feel thirsty, it's too late. We're already dehydrated and we can't focus and we feel tired. Drinking enough water is critical though for a healthy lifestyle. It increases our brain power, it boosts our productivity, prevents headaches, increases our focus, it improves our skin and our mood, and it helps our digestion, even gives us energy. So how much water should we drink every day? 10 cups, a gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated, and that's why I love Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster. Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly, and each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. It's also loved by pro athletes, top performers, and it has thousands of five-star reviews. It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious, it's refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors. I happen to love the blood orange and the lime. Here's what I love about it. This tastes like you have squeezed fresh fruit into your water. So with the lime that I love so much, it really tastes like I have squeezed fresh limes into my water. It just happens to be that lime flavor also has really good electrolytes that my body needs. Plus, Hydrant is backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, send it back for a full refund. You really need to try for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible, and it starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply. You can save even more with a monthly subscription. We happen to have a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. Go to drinkhydrant.com/bigboo or enter our promo code bigboo at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/bigboo. Or enter the promo code BIGBOO at checkout for 25% off your first order. Drinkhydrant.com/BIGBOO and enter the promo code BIGBOO to save 25%. And thanks, Hydrant, for supporting the podcast. Here's the rest of episode 195 with the magical Phil Rosenthal.
One of my favorites, Melanie and I talked about this. She was in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about this episode actually in some detail. is because this is what we talk about in pandemic. We talk about the Somebody Feed Bill episodes. And but we talked about the Venice episode, which one looked like a trip to a museum. Like it was just stunning visually to watch that episode.
Well, first of all, we have wonderful cinematographer
and
director, John Badolis, and the beautiful cameras that we use are 4K cameras. If you have a 4K television, it's just like incredible. And then I have to say, Venice, hard to screw up.
Yeah.
Right?
That pork chop we have talked about.
Also hard to screw up.
Yeah.
I mean, that pork chop is something else. But what really got me in this episode, in that episode, and what made me all teary-eyed and weepy was your time with Massimo Bottura, because I fell in love with him watching Chef's Table. Did you ever watch Chef's Table? I love.
The first one.
Yeah, the very first one. And so, I mean, it feels like that being with him would just be like getting, you'd just be swept up in like a joy cyclone with him. Like it would just be a nonstop day.
You know, since the show, you saw him revisit in the New York episode. And
yes,
then,
I did. Off
camera, we've become friends. I've seen him 3 or 4 times since then.
Oh,
love that.
I love his passion for what he does. I love, again, he seems to just approach life wide open with deep affection for people. And so I thought that was fantastic. And so now I not only want to go to Venice one day, I want to go to Moderna. I want to try the vinegar. I want to see every little piece of that place.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Well, my job.
How do you know where you want to go? How do you just kind of look at the map and go, that looks good? Or is it really start with food?
It is that simple. Starting with I'll Have What Phil's Having, that PBS series, we got 6 right away, right? So where do you want to go? Well, if the point of the show is to get you to travel, that's really the objective, right? Given everything I just said before. And most Americans, 2/3 of us don't even have a passport.
Right.
And 90% of passport holders don't use the passport.
Right.
So maybe we're in the condition we're in because of that. Maybe some of that is this kind of provincial attitude and closed-mindedness to other people, right? So if I want to motivate people who've never gotten even off the couch,
right,
I think I should start with Earth's Greatest Hits. I think I should start with the most accessible, almost touristy places in the world.
Right.
And like I said, they're touristy for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? And so starting with that, I haven't even scratched the surface 28 episodes later into Somebody Feed Phil. By the way, there's another 5 coming soon.
Soon? Yay.
I've shot already. Yeah.
Yay.
Before the end of the year.
Yay.
I'm not allowed to say that. They don't want me saying what the date is or where we're going. I have to drop it like I'm Beyonce dropping an album.
Well, I mean,
You're like Taylor Swift tonight at midnight. Exactly. Guess what's coming out?
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Just heard it yesterday. Very good album.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good.
Melanie and I both have traveled some, but I have a list. Melanie and I have a plan, really, for what we would like to do, all as a result of watching your show. And just the reminder that there is a great big world out there, and we're almost at an empty nest stage in our lives, and there's some stuff we want to see and some places we want to go.
What's your connection?
Melanie, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, so we're like eHarmony. We met on the internet. We both started like what were mommy blogs back in the day when people used to write daily blogs. And Sophie had a blog called Boo Mama, which was hers. And this was in 2006. Mine was called Big Mama. And we both were working moms that had only children. And so we found each other. I thought Sophie's writing was so funny. And we just had a lot of things in common. So I emailed her one night randomly and said, hey, we have a lot in common. And we just started emailing back and forth. And then eventually we called each other on the phone. And now, I mean, yeah. And so here we are all these years later. But we just met through the internet. Yeah. And kind of started with blogs. And then we both wrote books. And then we started the podcast. And here we are.
The internet can be used for good.
It can. And I always said, like, it gave me somebody I would have never known, a mom in Birmingham, without the internet, you know? So.
Well, you asked how we pick places. So the moment we say, hey, I've never been to Marrakesh, it's always seemed so exotic. Well, let's, you know, we're not just going on a whim. We do what everybody does. We have the phone.
Yeah.
Right. The internet. And we start researching. First of all, is there enough food to sustain us through a week of shooting, right? Is there enough interesting place to eat and enough? And then is there enough either cultural, charitable, something to do in between meals? And once we find that we have enough, and it's all something everyone can do, And by the way, we've made it a little bit easier for you because we have a website now that details every place that we go in the show. And so you can click on it and even make a reservation. So as soon as the world comes back,
yes, we're
ready. Very confident that the world is coming back. Why? Yes. Because it's come back every other time there's been something.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it's not, I don't want to know it's not.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to keep planning. We may as well plan for the best, right? Hope for the best, expect the worst, says Mel Brooks.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
That's what I'll do. And the moment there's a vaccine, we're going to be back to normal. It's not going to come as quick as some people think it is or want it to be. And I'm not taking the first one that Mucko recommends. I don't even listen when there's a when they update the phones.
Yeah.
I don't even do that until I see what happens.
That's right. That's right. I keep saying I don't want your fresh vaccine. I don't want your fresh off the line vaccine.
Okay. So I have a specific question. I try to gauge, you try to tell when do you really like something and when do you really not like something? And you seem to almost always really like something. But that centuries old egg, that felt to me like a low. That felt like not maybe your favorite.
Oh, I thought I was going to die. That was the worst thing I've ever heard. That was, you taste really, really rotten egg the moment you put it in your mouth. I put an entire half an egg in my mouth because I'm so hilarious.
Yeah. And,
my brother, you hear him laughing behind the camera. He goes, you turned every shade of that egg. And the yolk is bluish green and the white is brownish orange because they literally buried it in ash and lime and under the ground for months until it hard boils itself, right? Chemically. And so it's really rotten egg. And then this aftertaste of ammonia.
Oh.
Overpowered. Crazy. And yet people like it. Right. Here's what I learned after eating it. It was a hot pot restaurant where they put, dozens of ingredients in the hot pot. You're supposed to take a little tiny piece of this, and it's just to provide a little funk to the thing. Not.
You weren't supposed to eat the whole thing in one bite.
I wasn't.
That was a miscalculation.
But people say, we even got a note from Netflix. It looks like Phil likes everything. Yes, I like everything I'm putting in the Would it be a great show if I went, hey, we're going to Massimo Bittura and he's the greatest chef in the world and now it just made you something. Here it is. Bum, 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 bum. Here it is. Man, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a good show, really.
My favorite is I got my parents to watch it and they've loved it and they've traveled all over. And so I knew, especially during all this, I was like, you've got to watch it. It's like you get to travel vicariously and eat at all these places. And my dad was talking about it and he said, everything's his favorite. He said, everything he tries is his favorite. And we were like, we love it because you're so excited. But do you truly have a favorite? Do you have like a top?
But everything is my favorite because it's now.
Yes. Right. In the moment.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes, there are standouts that I'll never forget. Here's how we know when something is really, really great. We get it again off camera.
There you go.
One of the things per show, per location, that we're like, that herring sandwich in the market in Tel Aviv, can we go back there again tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And can we go before we go to the airport to go home? Yes.
Okay.
There's stuff like that. That's awesome. There's always something. The khao soi in northern Thailand, I'll never forget. That was a food that I never had before that now that I'm in LA, I mean, this is the best part of travel, right? Especially if you live in a city that has stuff and the diversity of Los Angeles or New York. There's 50 places that serve that dish that I can find. And I'm trying them all until I find the one that's closest to the experience I had in Chiang Mai.
Yes. That's awesome. One of my favorite things that you said, and this was on the Los Angeles episode, which again, I feel like Chris Farley, that was one of my favorites, but I really did love it because one of the things you said in Los Angeles was you said there are hidden treasures here and you just have to look for them. And I think that is the real gift of travel. You're just on an excursion to find the hidden treasures. And sometimes you even find those hidden treasures in your own town. You know, like I can find those hidden treasures in Birmingham.
You can travel in your own town.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We don't find the treasures is because we're afraid of looking.
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to waste this meal if I don't get the thing I had last week. right?
Mm-hmm.
But I tell everybody, here, we have the phone. There's a Peruvian restaurant down the street. I don't know anything about Peruvian food. I don't want to, why would I eat that? I know steak and I know hamburgers. That's what I'm at.
Right.
Look, I'm just telling people, look at the menu. Just look at the menu. Oh, they have chicken and rice. I like, that's right. You like it. So why don't you try it? You go in, you have it, it's delicious. Or it's not, maybe it's not. So you go again. But the tasting is its own reward.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
But let's say you like it. Now you go back and you mm-hmm. bring somebody. You got to have this. It was fantastic. I'm going to try something else. This looks good too. If that's good, maybe this is. And then you meet the owner. And the owner's nice. And you talk to him about his where he's from. And the next thing you know, you're in Machu Picchu.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so good. It just opens. It's getting outside your bubble. It just, the world opens up when you get outside your bubble.
And listen, I'm a scaredy cat and I'm older. And like I said, I'm not an adventurer with my shoes. I go and I don't want to do anything. And that usually the stuff, the most outrageous thing you've seen me do on the show, if you going into that pond in the middle of Vietnam with the snakes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Do that. What I said was true. They said, you're going to get up at 4 a.m. You're going to get put on these hip waders. You're going to go in the swamp. You're going to pull up lotus roots and snails. And I said, you lost me at 4 a.m. I'm out. I don't want to do that. I want to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure enough, that step out of your comfort zone, that's where the magic is.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
We've loved your show because you inspire us all. Like is somebody, because we look at you and go, okay, we do see that, like you're just like us. Like you're just like us. And to see you, like, I mean, I texted Sophie and I said, all of a sudden I want to go get on a rickety boat and go down a river market in Bangkok. That was something I didn't even know was a real thing.
That's right.
But you opened up my eyes to it.
That's a ride. And it's gorgeous and it's great. You know, it's like the It's a Small World ride.
Yeah.
And all that. But Disney ain't feeding you on that ride.
No,
no.
This is 10 times better. Yeah. Look how great that is. And, you know, the opposite of Bourdain. I want people to look and say, if that putz can go outside, maybe I can too. That's all.
Well, you have given such a gift to all of us. I mean, we love your show. We're evangelists for your show. I mean, we're telling everybody, like, nothing, just your time. But if you ever want to come to San Antonio, I will tell you, we are the home of 750 different Mexican restaurants.
I love it.
I would help you blaze through.
I love
a lot.
Your goat bath. I know all about that. I see movies and pictures of that. I can't wait to go.
Yeah. Well, one of these days I will take you. We have a culinary institute here and I would love to be your guide. So if you ever find yourself in San Antonio.
Oh, great. And I love Austin. And I love, and I'll tell you, just between us, I can't tell you. You're recording.
No, I can cut it out. You can tell us.
No way.
You know, I got a message here and then I lost. I mean, I can hear you, but you can see me, but I can't see you.
Oh.
I don't know where it went. Hang on.
I did that earlier. I think if you click on the little camera, like the little blue that looks like a camera, it'll pop back up. Maybe if you have that somewhere on your screen.
so weird. I'm doing. Oh, there you are.
Okay. There you go. There we go.
Well, we cannot thank you enough. I'm so delighted to know where you just told us that you're going, that we can't tell.
And I'm excited that there are new episodes that will be coming at some point, because I was really worried.
We finished filming in mid-January, so just under the wire.
Just under the wire. Well, that gives us all something to look forward to. We have just loved your show. You've brought so much laughter I didn't even know into my home for years. I mean, since Everybody Loves Raymond and so much of your work. And so it's just been amazing. And I think you've just been such a great... I just feel like when the world feels crazy, you've just been like, I said, you're like the warm cookies and glass of milk that we all need right now. Our security blanket that we all need to make us feel
exactly right.
That love is still out
I'll
there.
I'll take it. You know, I'm not George Clooney. I'll have that.
But you do have the shoes. You do have the shoes.
Hey, nobody can mess with your shoe game at all.
That's right.
Thank you, Phil Rosenthal. We are so honored and grateful that you took some time to talk to us today. And we really are. We're super grateful for what you're doing in the world. It's really good work and it's fun to watch.
Well, you two made my day and I love meeting you both. You're so sweet and great. And I want to thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
All right. Bye, Phil.
Bye. So that was pretty much everything I hoped it would be and more.
And I feel like just the fact that he also had some technical difficulties, like that our picture went away for a minute and that, like his messages popped up on his phone. He had to text somebody in the middle. I'm like, Phil, it feels like you're our people. It feels like right. You fit right in.
Yeah.
So it felt right. It felt good. It confirmed. And I love, you and I have always said this, I love when you meet people who are the same people that you see them to be when they're on a larger stage. And that's Absolutely. What I loved about him. I was like, the Phil we just talked to is the same Phil he is on the show. And it just makes you realize why he manages to go into all these different places and people fall in love with him. Cause I'm ready to have him over for like Thanksgiving dinner.
Pretty much me too. I'm ready to host him for an extended period of time. Should he want to come to Birmingham?
Yeah.
I'm also ready to impose myself on him and his family. Should I find myself in Los Angeles?
So yeah. Either way.
Works out well. That's good.
Either way. So Phil has probably been looking for where could I find friends from Texas and Alabama, and good luck. Congratulations. Hey, you found
it. Just happened.
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Okay. Yeah. So thanks as always, y'all, for listening. And we will be back next week with Lo, even more fun, but just the two of us, as far as we know.
Yes. Unless, I don't know, Taylor Swift calls or something like that. And then we're open. Then we're right. available. So
or if you decide you're going to message Ed Ogeron, that would.
Oh, well, that's another one. And Jimbo Fisher. So I've got a list. At this point, I'm working on a list. So we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right, bye.
Bye.